This week's Parsha is Parsha's Mishpatim, and our shiur today will focus on the first pasuk on this week's Parsha. The first verse of this week's Parsha, chapter 21, pasuk number 1, is Ve'ele HaMishpatim, and these are the ordinances or judgments, stressing the word end, Asher Tasim Lifneim, that you should put place before them, you should put in front of them. I will quote the first two Rashis on this Parsha. We'll ask a few questions on them. And we will see what we'll be able to come up with regarding the message on this Pasuk. The first Rashi on the Parsha is bothered by the word Ve'ele, and this. Because usually when you write the Vav, it means to connect. Rashi makes a statement. Kol mokom shenemar eila, every time it says the word eila, these are, posel es hareshonim. It means to reject what was previously written. Meaning, it means to tell you that there is no connection to what was previously written before this word. But ve'eila, since it's written and this, the word and is a connector. Therefore, moisiv al hareshonim, it comes to add to what was previously written. Then Rashi explains, what does it come to add? Rashi says, Mahari Shoinim Misinai, the same way that the previous commandments, the previous Parsha, we had the Ten Commandments, the Seres HaDibrois, those were clearly given at Sinai. Af Elo, these two, Misinai, are also given at Sinai. Meaning that the laws that I'm about to say in this Parsha, which are laws between man and man, they were also given at Sinai. Then Rashi asks, "Velamo nismecha parshas dinim leparshas mizbeach?" What's the connection of the parsha of dinim, of judgments, of judicial cases that are going to be written on this parsha, to the last pasuk of last parsha, where it talks about the mizbeach, on chapter 22, pasuk number 23? It says that you should not go up in steps on the Mizbeach. What connection does that have with the Parsha of Judgments, with the judicial system? Rashi answers, Loi Malach, to tell you, Shetosim Sanhedrin Etzel HaMikdash, that you should put the Sanhedrin adjacent to the Beis HaMikdash, meaning that there was a room adjacent to the Beis HaMikdash, which was called the Lishchas HaGozis. There, the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of the Jewish people, said, and the juxtaposition is tell you for you to place the Supreme Court next to the Beis HaMikdash. We'll soon try to explain what is the message about putting the Supreme Court next to the Beis HaMikdash. The next Rashi on the Pasuk, Asher Tosim Lifneyem, Rashi seemed to be bothered. If the idea is to teach the Jewish people, then the Torah should have written the same formula as always. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe leimor, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu to say, or the pasuk could have just as easily written down, Ve'ele hamishpatim asher talamdem, and these are the ordinances that you should teach them. Why does the Torah uses the language, Ve'ele hamishpatim, these are the ordinances, asher tosim lifneim, they should place in front of them? What is the message by saying this language? Rashi answers, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Loisale Adat Choloimer, it should not occur to you to say, Eshne Lohem HaPerek, I will teach them the chapter, V'alocha, and the law, Shtaim, two times, Shalosh Pamim, or three times, Ad Shetehei Sedura Befiyem, until at least it sat in order of the mouth according to its format, meaning until they have memorized it. But I will not trouble myself with the Jewish people to make them understand the reasons of the matter and its explanation. Meaning that had the Torah just written down that these are the ordinances that you should teach the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu could have thought, or would have thought, that all he has to do is teach them the laws, that they have to memorize the laws, know what the law is. But it's not important for them to know the reason behind the law and the explanation. Therefore, Hashem tells them, Asher Tosim Lifneyem, that these are the ordinances you have to place in front of them, meaning you have to place Keshulchan Heoruch, like a ready-made table, Umuchan Lecho Lifnei Adam, that's ready to eat in front of men. In the same way that when you place food on the table for a guest, you don't place raw food, you only place cooked food that's already ready to eat. So too, when you teach the Jewish people, you have to teach them in a complete manner that they are able to understand all the particulars and all the explanation of the law. In truth, the first Rashi and this Rashi are both a machloikas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in the Mechilta. The Mechilta of Rabbi Shmuel, Parsha Aleph, which goes on this pasuk, says, "Ve'ela mishpatim." These are the ordinances. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Rabbi Shmuel says, "Elu moisifin al elyoinim," that these are coming to add to those written previously. Meaning, he's trying to answer why is it written "Ve'ela mishpatim," and these are the ordinances. So he's saying that it's coming to add to what's written previously. Ma elyoinim misinai, as the previous ones came from Sinai. Those ordinances written here also came from Sinai. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel and the Baraisa. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Rabbi Akiva says, Ve'ela mishpatim, and these are the ordinances. Lamo nemar, why is it written? Lefisha Oimer, because it's written, Dabe b'nei Yisrael v'marto aleihem, always it's written, speak to the Jewish people and say to them, since it says, say to them, Ein li yelu pamachas, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu should only tell the laws of the Jewish people one time. Menayin, how do I know? Shana v'sholosh v'riva, how do I know that you have to repeat two, three, or four times ad she'ilmadu until they learn it well? Talmud Loimer, in Dvarim, chapter 31, pasuk number 19, v'lamdu es bnei Yisrael, make sure that the Jewish people learn. So Yahu lemeidim, I thought that the Jewish people learn, veloy shoinim, but the Jewish people can't teach other people. In other words, they learn themselves, but they can't repeat it. Talmud Loimer, the pasuk says, sima befiem, that you have to learn with them until they become well-versed, that is put in their mouth, meaning that they have the law at the tip of their mouth, that they are well-versed. Yahu shoinim, I would have thought they are well-versed, veloy yodim, but they don't understand the reasons behind the mitzvahs. Talmud Loimer ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim lifneyem. These are the ordinances that you should put in front of them. Archam lifneyem, prepare for them keshulchan orach, like a ready-made table. That we have to make sure that it's ready to digest, and we explain them exactly the reasons behind the mitzvahs. Dorachaim explains that this disagreement in the Mechilta on the interpretation of this verse is consistent with another difference of opinion between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. In the Gemara in Masachet Zvachim, Kaf Tes Vav Amud Beis 115b. There the Gemara is discussing when were the rules of an elevation offering of the Korban Ola, and the Gemara says that this is based on the difference of opinion of these two rabbis that we're discussing here. The Tanya, because we learned in Abaraisa. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Rabbi Shmuel says, Klalois Nemru b'Sinai. All the general rules of the mitzvahs were given in Sinai. Uprotois, but the individual rules, b'Ohel Moed, were given in Ohel Moed. Meaning, for example, the previous parsha has a verse regarding the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach's rule was given at Sinai. But the particulars of what is brought in the Mizbeach, the sacrifices that are going to be brought, wasn't given at Sinai. It was given in the tent of meeting, meaning in the tabernacle. That is where Moshe Rabbeinu explained and received the particulars of the laws. Therefore, the Ola sacrifice, elevation offering, wasn't given at Sinai, was only given later on at the tent of meeting at the tabernacle. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says, Klalois uprotois nemru b'Sinai, that the general rules and every minute detail was given at Sinai. It was only repeated at Ohel Moed, at the tent of meeting at the tabernacle, and it was said a third time by Arvas Moyav in the book of Devarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die, where he goes over the whole Torah, then it was repeated for a third time. Meaning that Rabbi Akiva holds that all the laws of the elevation offering were given at Sinai. The Ora Chaim HaKodesh explains that since, according to Rabbi Akiva, all the laws of the Torah were given the general rules and the minute rules at Sinai, then obviously he cannot translate Ve'ela Mishpatim that the same way that those first laws were given at Sinai, these two were given at Sinai, because for him the whole Torah was given at Sinai. Then what's so special about these ordinances? Therefore he has to explain that the reason it's written Ve'ela Mishpatim Ashetasim Lifneihem, to teach you that you should put in front of them Keshulchan Orech, like a ready-made table, that you should explain to the Jewish people not only the laws, but also the reasons behind the laws. But the Ora Chaim says that this consistency seems to be only according to Rabbi Akiva, but according to Rashi, Rashi seems to be inconsistent, meaning that Rashi, in chapter 25 of Vayikra, pasuk number 1 in Parshas Bahar, there we have a pasuk that says, Vaydabar Hashem al Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe, Behar Sinai Leimor, in Mount Sinai, saying, and the pasuk proceeds and tells you the laws of Shemitah, the laws of the sabbatical year. Rashi there asks a question, Ma'inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, why, when the Torah is talking about the sabbatical years, the Torah stresses that these laws were given at Mount Sinai, V'haloi kol ha-mitzvahs namru b'Sinai, all the mitzvahs of the Torah were given in Sinai. Then why is the Torah pointing out specifically on this mitzvah that this mitzvah was given at Sinai? Rashi answers that the reason that the Torah writes down specifically in this law that it was given in Mount Sinai is to teach you that in the same way Shemitah, the sabbatical year, was given the general rule and all the particulars at Sinai, as the pasuk here testifies, so too, all the mitzvahs of the Torah were given their general rules and their particulars at Sinai. Meaning, the Torah has to show me in one place that the general rules and the particular rules are given at Sinai. Like that, I learn for the whole Torah that all the general rules and all the particular rules were given at Sinai. According to this, we could see that Rashi follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva and the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva says that all the general rules and all the particular rules are given at Sinai. Rashi says that we learn that from the pasuk in Parshas Behar, that since Shemitah was given at Sinai the general rules and the particular rules, so too the whole Torah was given at Sinai the general rules and the particular rules. Then the Ora Chaim asks a question, how can the first Rashi here explain that the Ve'ela Mishpatim, that the Vav is trying to connect in the same way that the previous mitzvahs were given at Sinai, so too these judgments and these ordinances written in this Parsha were given at Sinai, where Rashi holds from Parshas Behar that all the mitzvahs and all the details were given at Sinai? Then the Torah doesn't have to tell me here that this was given at Sinai. And the Ora Chaim says that the Mizrahi himself asks this question, and because of this question, the Mizrahi reinterprets the statement Ma'arishoyne Misinai Af Elu Misinai, in the same way that the first mitzvahs are given in Sinai, so too are given in Sinai, not to mean the way we understood that these ordinances were given at Sinai, but to explain the method that they were given. Meaning, we all know that the Ten Commandments were given with heavy fanfare, as it's written on chapter 19, verse 16, that Vayibayom Ashlish, it was the third day, Biyois Aboiker in the morning, Vaykoilois Uvrakim, there was thunder and lightning, Ve'anon Kovet Alohar, and a heavy cloud on the mountain. Meaning, the Seres Adibres, the Ten Commandments, were given with heavy fanfare. The Mizrahi says that that is what is meant by this Rashi. In the same way that what is written previously was given with heavy fanfare, with thunder and lightning, so too what is written here in Parshas Mishpatim was also given with heavy fanfare, with thunder and lightning. But it doesn't mean to say that these mitzvahs were given at Sinai, because the whole Torah was given at Sinai. It's coming to tell you the method that these were given. That these were given, if heavy fanfare, exactly like the Aseres Adibras, like the Ten Commandments. Then according to this, Rashi is consistent. We know that the whole Torah was given at Sinai from Parshas Bahar, from the Inyan of Shemitah, that's written there, Mount Sinai. And here, Parshas Mishpatim, it's a whole different idea. The idea is that Hashem gave us these commandments in Parshas Mishpatim with heavy fanfare, in the same way that He gave us the Ten Commandments, the Aseres Adibras. The Rachaim HaKodesh brings the words of the Mizrahi and says that the words of the Mizrahi are not acceptable. They are not mekubal to the heart, because it is hard to say that Hashem Yisborach said to us more than the Aseres Adibras, more than the Ten Commandments. And even if Rabbi Shmuel would have clearly written that Hashem spoke more than the Ten Commandments, then Rabbi Shmuel would also have to bring a proof to his words. Therefore, he says that you're not supposed to listen to the words of Mizrahi, and if you have a question against Rashi, we have to interpret Rashi in a different way. As a matter of fact, the Or HaChaim interprets Rashi that Rashi is only commenting according to Rabbi Shmuel, meaning Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that only the general rules were given at Sinai and the details were given somewhere else, but he would agree that the whole Parsha Mishpatim and the whole Parsha Bahar, those Parshas were given at Sinai. Meaning that Rashi is trying to say that even Rabbi Shmuel, that normally holds that only the general rules are given at Sinai and the particular rules were given somewhere else, has to agree that in this Parsha, Parshas Mishpatim was given at Sinai. Why? Because Ve'ela and this R means that this is connected to the previous Parsha, the same way the previous Parsha was given at Sinai, so too this one was given at Sinai. And Rabbi Shmuel will also hold that the laws of Shemitah were given at Sinai, because there the Torah clearly writes that it was Bahar Sinai. But whenever the Torah doesn't write me clear where it was given, only the general rules are given at Sinai, but not the particular rule. The Maharal in Guraria brings the words of the Mizrahi, and he also disagrees strongly with the Mizrahi, and he says that if the point of Rashi was going to be that in the same way that the Ten Commandments were given with thunder and lightning, so too these were given with thunder and lightning, then Rashi's wording and Rabbi Shmuel's wording are wrong. Rashi's wording is Maharishoni Misinai Af Elu Misinai, the same way that the previous one were from Sinai, so too these were from Sinai. The words should be Maharishoinim Bekoilus of Rakim, the same way the first ones come with thunder and lightning. Af Elu, these mitzvahs also come with thunder and lightning, because according to the Mizrahi, that is what the point is. And since it does not say that, obviously that's not what it meant. In addition, it says that that interpretation of the Mizrahi seems to contradict clearly a pasuk in Devarim chapter 10, pasuk number 4. There it's written, Vayichtav Alucho es kamichtav harishoin. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote on the second tablet, like it was written in the first tablet, Esa Sadras Advarim, the 10 commandments or the 10 statements, Asher Dibra Hashem Aleichem Bahar, that Hashem spoke to you on the mountain. It only mentions the 10 statements, doesn't mention that Hashem spoke more than 10 statements. And according to Mizrahi, Hashem spoke to us more than the 10 statements, Mitocho Eish, from the fire. Hashem gave us the whole Parshas Mishpatim, Mitocho Eish, from the fire. Therefore, the Gur Arya gives a different answer. But I just wanted to point out that this proof from the Pasuk is really not such a strong proof, because Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that Hashem told me to write these 10 statements on the tablets. Those 10 statements were given from the fire. But Moshe Rabbeinu is not saying that Hashem didn't give any more statements from the fire. Hashem told me to write on the tablets only these 10 statements, but not necessarily he didn't receive more statements. But the Maharal in Gur Arya gives a beautiful answer, and he says that we misunderstanding the statement of Rabbi Akiva, meaning that he says that Rashi really holds like Rabbi Akiva, as Rashi mentions in Parshas Bahar, meaning that Rashi holds that all the rules of the Torah, the general rules, and the particular rules were given at Sinai. Then the question is, if that is true, then why does the Torah have to tell me Ve'ela Mishpatim Shatosim Lifneim, and these are the ordinances, and we mention from the word end that it is to tell me the same way as the Ten Commandments were from Sinai, so too the Parshas Mishpatim was given at Sinai, when you hold that the whole Torah was given at Sinai, meaning that all the mitzvahs, the general and the particular rules are given at Sinai, then why do you have to tell me here specifically that this was given at Sinai? The Maharal says that there's a huge difference between the other mitzvahs of the Torah and the mitzvahs written in Parshas Mishpatim. And the difference is, who is the one that received the general rules and the particular rules at Sinai? And he explains that the whole Torah was given at Sinai, means that it was given at Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Parshas Mishpatim was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and all the Jewish people. That in the same way that the Ten Commandments were given at Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people, so too Parshas Mishpatim was given at Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people. But the rest of the Torah, it was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai, and Moshe Rabbeinu gave later on to the Jewish people whenever he wanted. But Parshas Mishpatim is the exception to the rule, and this was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people at Sinai. And that reconciles both interpretations of Rashi. Regardless of the reason or what exactly was different, either according to the Mizrahi, Parshas Mishpatim was also given with great fanfare, with thunder and lightning, or according to the Maral, that Parshas Mishpatim was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and all the Jewish people, or according to the simple interpretation of Rabbi Shmuel, that Parshas Mishpatim was given the generalities and the minute laws at Sinai, we have to understand what is the message that Hashem wanted to convey to us to do that specifically with Parshas Mishpatim. The Chiddush Orim explains that since Parshas Mishpatim deals mostly with logical laws, laws that we could have figured out ourselves, Hashem wants you to know that it is not your wisdom that determines what the laws are. The laws are only logical, and they're only the way you think, because their power comes directly from Sinai. Because the power comes from Hashem, that is why these laws are logical to you, and the laws are the way they are. And that could be also the reason why Hashem demanded that the Dayanim should be next to the Beis HaMikdash, as Rashi explains, that we should put the high court next to the Beis HaMikdash, that the high court has to know that the laws they get don't come from the logic that a person decides on his own mind that this is what it should be. You only get it because of the Beis HaMikdash, because of the Shechina, because of Hashem that was in the Beis HaMikdash. That is where the laws come from. And the other reason why Hashem decided that he wants specifically the Sanhedrin to be next to the Beis HaMikdash could be that Hashem is giving us a message that we are not supposed to act like people are acting nowadays. Meaning, for example, in the United States, you are required to separate the judiciary from the religious, meaning that the judiciary should act independent of religious considerations or beliefs. But in Judaism, is quite opposite. The judiciary is an intricate part and totally an extension of the religious. Therefore, all the laws of the judiciary are totally dependent on the religious, and that is the symbolism of the Sanhedrin being next to the Beis HaMikdash, that they cannot act independently, they have to be totally connected to the Beis HaMikdash. Davne Ezel expresses this idea even better, and he says that if you are going to ask a regular person what is considered religious law and what is considered civil law, he will classify laws between man and God as religious belief, but laws between man and man, regular civil laws. For example, if my bull gores your cow that I have to pay the damages that you incurred, you'd classify as civil law. There is nothing religious. Therefore, the Torah is telling you, Mahar Rishonim Misinai, Af Elo Misinai, that the same way that the Ten Commandments, everybody understands it comes from Sinai, and everybody saw that this is really a way to connect with Hashem religiously, so too you should know all these laws, which seems to be civil laws, they are also here to connect with Hashem. That by you becoming strict with the laws between man and man, you are getting more religious and you are getting more connected by doing the will of Hashem. Even though it seems like it's a regular civil obligation that you have to do, that if something of yours damages something of somebody else, that you have to pay. But since this is the law that comes directly from Hashem, then every time you perform this, you get connected to Hashem, and that is the reason why you do it, then you're doing the will of Hashem. Rav Hutner Zatzal in Sefer Pachad Yitzchak says that it is important that Parshas Mishpatim be directly connected to Mamad Har Sinai, to the Sinai experience, meaning, as the Mizrahi says, that it was given the same way Koilis in Brokim with fanfare, or as the Maral says, that it was given to the Jewish people and Moshe Rabbeinu, not like all other laws, to let you know that since in this parsha we have mostly laws of man and man, a person may mistakenly think that laws between man and man are of less importance than laws between man and God, meaning that mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveroi don't have such priority, do not weigh as much as mitzvahs ben adam l'makom, between man and Hashem. Therefore, to disprove this point, Hashem wanted to act when he's giving the mitzvahs between man and man in the same way as he acted when he gave the mitzvahs, which are a pillar to our beliefs, the Ten Commandments, the Aseres HaDibrois. Like that you will know that these mitzvahs between man and man have the same importance as the mitzvahs that I gave in the Ten Commandments. That those mitzvahs I gave with fanfare, so too I give these mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs I made sure all the Jewish people hear about it, so too these mitzvahs I made sure all the Jewish people hear about it. The same way that the Ten Commandments, Aseres HaDibrois, I gave you in Sinai, so too these mitzvahs between man and man I gave you in Sinai. Like that you will know that the mitzvahs between man and man are just as important as the mitzvahs between man and Hashem. And it brings an interesting interpretation and proof from the end of the parsha. On chapter 24, Pasuk number 6, there it relates how Moshe Rabbeinu brought sacrifices, and the sacrifices was going to serve as a covenant between the Jewish people. And there it's written, Vayikach Moshe chatzi adam, Moshe Rabbeinu took half the blood, Vayosem ba'gogois, and he put in the basins, Vachatzi adam, and half the blood, Zorak la'mizbeach, he threw on the mizbeach. Rashi makes an interesting comment. Rashi says, Mi cholkoi, who divided the blood? Meaning, according to the simple interpretation, since it's not written kachatzi blood, approximately half the blood, and it's written chatzi adam, half the blood, that means that the blood was exactly half. Then Rashi is asking a question, if it was exactly half the blood, Mi cholkoi, who divided the blood? Who made sure that this is exactly half? Therefore, Rashi answers from the Medrash Rabbah, Malach ba v'cholkoi, that an angel came and split the blood exactly in the middle, meaning that it was exactly half the blood. True, a human being can't figure out exactly what half is, but a Malach, an angel of Hashem, could figure out, and he came and split the blood in the middle. Half the blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and half the blood was sprinkled on top of the people. Rav Hutner asks, what is the difference if it is exactly 50% of the blood? What difference would it make If it would be 49% of the blood or 51% of the blood, the whole purpose of this blood was to enter in a covenant with Hashem, and we are going to have the blood sprinkled on top of the people and the blood spilled on the Mizbeach. Then what's the difference if it's going to be the whole blood, half the blood? As long as you sprinkle some of the blood on the people and some of the blood on the Mizbeach, you are able to make a covenant. Why was it so important for Hashem that it be exactly 50% of the blood in this basin and 50% of the blood in the other basin, so much so that he has to send an angel to split the blood in exactly the middle? Rav Utner answers that this message is exactly the message that we mentioned, meaning, had the blood been divided by a human being, then it's possible that the human being is not going to have exactly the same amount in both basins, because it is impossible for a human being to get it exactly 50%. Then if the basin that is going to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach would have more blood, people would erroneously believe that we are required to give a priority and be more careful and more devotion regarding the mitzvahs that are between man and Hashem. Since the Mizbeach represents Hashem and there is more blood there, then we are required to have more or prioritize mitzvahs that are between you and Hashem. Therefore, Hashem sent an angel down to split the blood, to divide the blood in the middle, for you to know that the mitzvahs between Adam and Adam are exactly the same way as the mitzvahs between Adam Lamokim. That mitzvahs between man and man have the same value and the same priority as the mitzvahs between man and Hashem. Then Rav Utner says that could be the explanation of a very perplexing Rashi. Rashi on chapter 20, Pasuk number 1, the Pasuk preceding the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, says, "Vayidaber Elokim es kol hadvarim hoile leimor," Hashem said all these words saying, and then it starts the Ten Commandments, "Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, am Hashem your God." Rashi makes an interesting comment. Why is it written as kol hadvarim hoile, all these words saying? Melamed, it's coming to teach you, Shomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aseres HaDibros Bedibur Echad, that Hashem said all the Ten Commandments in one utterance. Meaning that Hashem said one word, and in those words were included the Ten Commandments. Ma sheyefsher le'adam loymer ken, something that a human being cannot do, meaning that a human being cannot put all the Ten Commandments in one word, but Hashem was able to put all the Ten Commandments in one word, and obviously we understood it. Then Rashi asks, "Im ken matamot loymer oit, anoichi velo yelecha." If Hashem already in one utterance gave us all the Ten Commandments, why does the Torah bother to go each one individually? Meaning, since we already received the Ten Commandments, why does the Torah have to say, "Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I'm God your God, and lo yilecha, you shouldn't have other gods," and etc.? We already got them all together in one utterance. Rashi answers, "Shechazar upirish al kol dibur v'dibur bifnei atzmoi," that Hashem went back and specified each and every commandment of the Ten Commandments individually for us to know. According to this, Rav Utner asks a question, since we are required to write them down individually. Because if Hashem doesn't write them individually, we would have never found out what those commandments were. Then why was it important, before Hashem gives us individually, to give one utterance, and in that utterance include all the Ten Commandments together? If Hashem is going to give us individually anyways, why was it so important that He perform a miracle that in one utterance was already included all the Ten Commandments? Hashem could just give us the commandments the way we have it written here, and not give us in one word, in one utterance, all the Ten Commandments. Rav Utner in Pachad Yitzchok says that what we mentioned until now is exactly the reason why it was necessary for Hashem to make one utterance and include in that utterance all the Ten Commandments. Meaning, since we know that there is two categories in the Ten Commandments. The first five commandments are in the category of mitzvahs bein Adam lemakom, between man and Hashem, and the second five commandments are in the category of mitzvahs bein Adam leAdam, between man and man. For example, the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos is a mitzvah between Adam lemakom, between man and Hashem. The mitzvah do not steal is of the category of mitzvahs bein Adam leAdam, between man and man. Therefore, had Hashem just listed for us the commandments the way it is written in the Chumash, meaning that the first commandment is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, the second commandment is Lo Yilecha, and so forth, I would mistakenly assume that the way the commandments are listed are the way of importance, meaning the one listed first is more important. Therefore, since the first five that are listed are mitzvahs that are between man and Hashem, I would have assumed that it is more important to do the mitzvahs between man and Hashem than getting involved with the mitzvahs between man and man. Because since they are the last five, they have less of importance of the first five. Because since Hashem didn't say them first, obviously they don't have such importance. To disprove this idea, Hashem decided that he's going to make a miracle and he's going to say in one utterance all 10 commandments. Like that, you will know that the mitzvahs between man and man and the mitzvahs between man and Hashem are equal, that there is no more importance between mitzvahs between man and Hashem than the mitzvahs between man and man. Therefore, even though Hashem is going to list us individually all the commandments, it was still important for Hashem that he gives us the commandments first in one utterance. Because like that, we will learn the lesson that mitzvahs between man and man are of equal importance as mitzvahs between man and Hashem. Regarding the Rashi, where it says, Asher tosim lifneim, they have to put in front of them. And Rashi says that has to be keshulchan orech, like a ready-made table, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu has to make sure that we know all the explanations and the reasons behind the mitzvahs. Rav Moshe Leib Misasover Zatzal asks a question, why is Rashi comparing it Keshulchan Aruch like a ready-made table? Why not say that you have to repeat and explain all the laws? Why have the comparisons to Shulchan Aruch to a ready-made table? He answers that the message that Rashi is trying to say is a very deep message, meaning that many people, when it involves kashrus, they are very machmer, they are very stringent. Meaning, let's say they go to a party, they always ask who the mashgiach is, who the ashgachir is, who is the one that's giving approval, which meat this is. The same thing when they bring food home or when they go out in a restaurant to eat, they are always very careful that they are machmer, that they are stringent in what they put in their mouth and what they eat. But unfortunately, those same people, when it comes to business dealings, they are not as careful anymore. When it comes to paying their taxes, they are not as careful anymore. When it comes to hurting somebody else's property, paying their employees on time, keeping the word in business, they are not so machmer anymore, they are not so stringent anymore. For a person like that, Rashi is saying that ve'ela mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem, that these ordinances I give to you, which are the laws between man and man, the laws of business, the laws of injury, the laws of paying your employee on time, those things, it has to be keshulchan orech, has to be like a ready-made table. The same chumras, the same stringencies you put on your ready-made table, what you're going to eat, you have to put the same stringencies regarding to what business dealings and what you take home. Meaning the money you take home has to be in such a way that there is no questions of its propriety and everybody could partake from that money. Finally, we're going to give another interpretation of what is meant that Mishpatim, the ordinances, are Keshulchan Aruch, like a ready-made table. And that interpretation is going to be from Sefer Shemen Roish, where he brings the Rambam in Perash HaMishnayis on the first Mishnah in Peah, which says, Eli Dvorim, Shadam Oichel Perusem Bal Mazeh, these are the things that you do that you will get your fruits in this world, meaning that if you do them, you'll get your reward in this world. Vakeren, but the principle stays, Loilam Haba, in the world to come, meaning even though you're getting the reward in these worlds, they are just like the fruits, but the main reward for those mitzvahs still is left for you in the world to come. And those things are Kibbut Avaem, honoring your father and mother, Ugmilas Chasodim, an act of kindness, Vavos Shalom Beidon Adam Chaveroi, and bringing peace between man and his fellow, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, and learning Torah is equivalent like all the mitzvahs, meaning that through Torah learning, you learn how to make these mitzvahs properly. And the Rambam in Perash HaMishnayis asks the famous question, how is it possible that we get the fruits of these mitzvahs in this world? We have a rule, the Schar Mitzvah, Bahai Almaleke, that there is no reward for mitzvahs in this world. The Rambam says that that rule only applies in mitzvahs Bein Adam Lemokom, between you and Hashem. Since there is only you and Hashem, then Hashem gives you the benefit in the world to come. But mitzvahs Bein Adam Lechaveroi, between man and man, since every time you do a mitzvah between man and man, you also do a mitzvah between man and Hashem, meaning that every mitzvah between man and man has two components, the part of Hashem, that Hashem commanded you, and the part that you made benefit for another human being. Therefore, for the portion that goes between man and Hashem, you get the principle in the world to come. But the portion that came between man and man, that reward Hashem gives you in this world. Therefore, these mitzvahs that's listed in the Mishnah of Peah are mitzvahs between man and man. According to this, Sefer Shemen Roish says that is exactly what Rashi means to say, that since Ve'ela Mishpatim Mashatosim Lifneyam, the ordinances that we are putting in front of you are ordinances mostly that apply to mitzvahs between man and man, and mitzvahs between man and man we receive reward in this world. Therefore, it's compared to Shulchan Aruch, like a ready-made feast. The same way you feast means that you eat in this world, so too, Ve'ela Mitzpotim, if you follow these ordinances, then you are able to have a feast in this world. From this shiur, we could see how important the mitzvahs between man and man are. And since we know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, because of hatred for no reason between man and man, then if you are careful in these mitzvahs between man and man, then not only are we going to get rewards in this world, we are also going to create ahavas chinam, love between one another for no reason. And once we do that, we are able to revert the reason of the destruction. We're able to rectify the reason for the destruction. If we do that, then we merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'imheira b'yomeinu, amen.